Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's like, it's only the kids who are really good at sports or blah, 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 and I never win. I'm like, yeah, well, I never won either. And as I hear myself say that, I'm like, and look at me. I'm a single parent. Pretty awesome.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John R. Bray.
We took a couple of weeks off because life,
you might have noticed.
And in those 2 weeks, I have crossed a milestone of parenthood in that I am now the mother of a teenager. Alita Elise Armstrong, the baby whose childhood helped engineer an industry of women talking about and sharing stories about being parents. That baby turned 13 years old on February 3rd.
That is a pretty significant milestone.
It is. And I didn't get her a goddamn thing for her birthday.
Did she want anything? Was there like a...
Well, this is, I got her an Instagram account.
That's right. Like, I forgot about that.
Instagram account and Snapchat.
Ooh, and Snapchat. And, that's like a bonus.
And Snapchat. And which I know everybody's warned me. I've got to make sure that I've got to be on top and make sure that she's not being bullied or getting lured into dark places. I'm very well aware of the dangers. And we had a slumber party for her birthday. Four of her friends from school came over, and it was really fun to watch them, Lita, open her presents from her friends, because they have all these inside jokes that I know nothing about, something about zebras and unicorns and all the presents involved, that sort of stuff. And then she got to me, and I was like, I gave her a card. And it just said, this is all you're getting, kid. You get to open an Instagram account. And she was absolutely thrilled. She couldn't have been happier.
That's awesome. That's so, really simple, too. You kind of lucked out.
Mm-hmm. People have warned me about teenage girls, and I am... I'll say that 11 and 12 were pretty bumpy, but the end of 12 and the beginning of 13 have been wonderful. And I'm going to live in the moment and just say that it's just... fucking awesome. My kid is just so fun to be around and so fun to talk to and so fun to share things with. How's it going with Lexton?
Same in a lot of those regards. I mean, it's really weird to, and it always feels weird even saying this, but to realize that he's a person, because for so many years they're a kid and they're people, but at a very different level. But suddenly, I mean, he will cross into the teenage threshold next month, and he's a full-on person. I mean, the conversations are great. He's funny as hell. He's sarcastic. It's just weird to realize that you've transitioned to that point. And I don't even really know when it happened, because, you know, you were around them so much that it's just one day I kind of realized, wow, he's like his own unit now. Like, he doesn't really need me. Like he used to. He wants me there, and we've got a great relationship, but he's totally a person now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just crazy to think about. And he's ridiculously tall, and it's weird to look back, you know, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, at how much has changed with him.
I thought that the changes would sort of slow down after the babyhood and toddlerhood and whatnot, but the changes are really significant. Lita getting my humor and Lita making inside jokes and references, it's like, I've said this, like, I'm sharing, not that I wasn't sharing my life with her when she was younger, but I'm like, I'm sharing my life with her in a very different way as she gets older. We started watching some stuff on Netflix together, and then someone gave me the DVDs of My So-Called Life. Did you ever watch that?
I did not. I know of it, but I've never seen it.
My So-Called Life, starring Claire Danes and Jared Leto as Angela Chase and Jordan Catalano. It was like, I watched it when I was a sophomore in college with my roommates, and it was the most incredible portrayal of what it's like to be a 15-year-old girl. We had finished watching a couple of shows on Netflix, and she's like, is there anything else? And I said, well, I think that you'll like this show. And we watched the pilot episode, and when it was over, she was clutching me the whole time we were watching it, and sighing and laughing. And then when it was over, she was like, oh gosh, I want to watch the whole thing right now. And it was like, oh my gosh, I get to share this like really significant piece of pop culture from my, you know, college years with my child, and I get to relive it with her. And we're on like episode 5 right now. And it's like, I don't want it to end, because these hours that I'm spending with her and laughing, and like the next day we'll make a joke about something that happened in the episode. And maybe it's because I'm a lonely single 41-year-old.
No, but I think it's those changes, like when they transition from baby through, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5, whatever. They're major transitions that you see. You know, they go from crawling to walking. You know, they start to talk. And now they're not as significant in the sense that they're not as easy to notice, but they feel more profound to me. Like the fact that they pick up on sarcasm and deliver sarcasm. They have those inside jokes. You're able to share those things like that you would normally share with a friend. You can suddenly share them with them because they get it.
Yes.
So from the outside, someone looking in, they go, yeah, not much has changed in the last year. But for you, it has, because you see those little intricate moments play out. And that's just awesome.
It is. And she's, you know, I really, really, really fostered a space for her to come and talk to me about any concerns she has. Like, there's some to be expected, a little bit of drama going on in her middle school. And like yesterday, she pulled me aside and she's like, I just want to talk through this. And I need like 5 minutes. And she just sort of went like 5 minutes. It was like, she did this and said this. And then she didn't look at me. And then she said this. And then she just mumbled. And I was like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I just needed to get that out. Thank you. And I'm like, you feel better? She's like, yeah, I just, thank you so much for understanding. Like, I know that you're the only one I can turn to with this. And I just hugged her and I said, I know it's hard. A lot of it's confusing. And I'm so grateful to have that with her. And I really want that to continue. I'm sure that there are parents out there of like 17 and 18-year-olds who are like, wait, you just wait.
Probably.
You just wait, Armstrong.
But it's watching that happen is part of the excitement. Like, just the comparison from day to day is part of the excitement. I feel like I'm at a point with Lexton where he's like, he can one-up me now.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not in the same way that a friend could, but it's there. Like, it's right there. He gets it. He understands the humor. He knows, and maybe this is one of the biggest things, he knows when he's crossing a line.
Yeah.
He might still choose to cross it, but I can look at him and I can see in his eyes, you know, you're being a little shit right now and you're making that choice. And I love that about you. Like, I like knowing that you are aware that you're doing something for a specific reason.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when they're 5 and they do something wrong, maybe it's mischievous, but they don't have quite the same comprehension to say, this is bad and I'm going to toe that line. And I like that. I think it's great, personally.
It's also great when she shares with me some of the drama going on at school. Like, I think someone had made a bad remark or had treated someone else badly, and Lita was taking up for the person who had been treated badly. And like, she had a sense of justice and a sense of like, what this person did was wrong and what this person did was hurtful to my friend. And I like that that's manifesting. And she's realizing that in her social interactions. It's like, oh, okay, I've done something right. That she has a sense of social justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's starting to evaluate those things on her own.
Yeah. You know, people talk about monitoring our children on social media and Instagram account, all of it. And there's a part of me that, while I want to make sure she's safe, there's also a part of me that wants her to be free. It's almost as if these little online villages are the trees. It's kind of sad for me to say this. These little, like, the communities that she has on Snapchat and the people that she follows on Instagram and the people that she's messaging, those are, I want her to explore her world without me guiding it or me restricting it or being afraid that, oh my God, my mom is like watching over my shoulder. Because when I was her age, my mother was not watching over my shoulder ever. I was just free. Does that make sense?
I think we've talked about this before, that there wasn't that oversight. That idea of helicopter parenting wasn't really a thing. And I think for me, it's sort of accepting this notion that you have to give them the chance to fail before trying to guard them from those failures. But at the same time, you have to give them the chance to succeed. You know, she needs the chance to be on Instagram and to realize, okay, this is weird. I don't want to follow this person. I don't want to message this person and stop. And then, you know, if something is out of her hands, then it gives her the opportunity to come to you. I think it's worth, you know, kind of keeping a side eye on things. But when they reach this age, it's sort of when all of the work that you've been doing is put to the test. You know, will she make the right decision? Will she stop messaging this person? Will she let you know if something gets out of hand?
She was on her Instagram account a couple days ago and she's like, Mom, do you know this person? Because it's a private account. Do you know this person? And I looked at it and I said, no, I don't know that person. And she says, why does an adult who I don't know and you don't know want to follow me? I was like, that's a good question to ask. And so she refused the request. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's good. That's a good thought process for her.
See, exactly. And then there's a great example. Like, she could have just said, I'm going to accept every follow request. But she evaluates it because she gets it. Mm-hmm. At least in her own way, at some level, she understands that she shouldn't just say yes to everything.
So I'll have to share this really quickly. I just remembered. I don't get all of my mail comes to a UPS store, except for the mail that comes from their schools, because it's all based on the location where you live. So any message that comes from the school comes to the mailbox at my house, which sometimes I lose because I don't ever check that mailbox. And a couple weeks ago, I got in my mailbox and there is a letter from her middle school. And I thought it was just going to be some update about the play that's coming up. And so I just quickly opened the envelope and it's her report card for the second term.
They still mail those home?
I guess, yeah, I guess you can get it online. I hadn't looked at it online because life.
That's just a good blanket for this whole episode.
My life right now is a fucking tumbleweed. My life right now is a fucking tumbleweed.
But you're embracing that.
So I am embracing it. So I open her report card and I look at it and she's got, so there's 7 classes and she's got 5 A's and 2 B pluses. So she's upstairs. This is before school. She's upstairs and I walk upstairs and I sit down next to her and I said, can you take a look at this? And she's like, what's that? And I said, this is your report card. And she looks at it and she looks at me and John. Okay. I did not get a B in my life until calculus, my freshman year in college. I got a B plus the second semester. That was the first B I ever got in my life.
So she totally lost her shit.
No. Well, she doesn't really know the whole story of Heather B. Hamilton and what Heather B. Hamilton went through in terms of being the perfectionist in every class that Heather was in and making sure that when I took every AP class that I took, I always got the extra 8 points. So I would get 108 every time I got a report card. I graduated with the highest GPA and the highest grade average of anybody ever in the history of my high school. I was a fucking lunatic. I was...
Sounds like you would have been a real delight to hang out with.
I was a delight. I was insufferable. So I'm sitting there with her and I have her take a look at it. And she's like, okay. And I said, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? I mean, it's a fucking fabulous report card, but I see those 2 B pluses and I look at her and I'm like, how do you feel about those B pluses, Lita? And she's like, well, I mean, I tried my hardest. I said, okay, that's all I needed to know. As long as you're trying your hardest, very good job. Well done. It was like this, oh my gosh. Like, and this is the thing, is that I'm so happy that she's not what I was when I was her age. I'm so happy. But in that moment when I saw those B pluses, I was like, ooh.
But it's like B plus PTSD, yeah.
I'm so happy that she's not the complete irritating perfectionist that I was at that age.
But she still cares enough to try her hardest. I mean, it's like the perfect combination, right? She still cares,
yeah.
But it's not debilitating.
She takes care of all of her homework by herself. I never have to get on her about that. She's a great kid. She's a great kid.
She's a great teen. She's a teen.
She's a great teen.
Crazy. 2 years, driver's ed.
I was a teenager like 2 days ago, man. Doesn't it feel like that though? I feel like I was like 16 like 2 days ago.
Oh yeah. Well, there's times that I just think, what business do I have raising a child? Like I'm not grown. Why am I doing this? Because everything just goes so quickly. And I think it doesn't help to have such a clear memory of that age. Like, I don't really remember being 4 and 5. So you can distance yourself from that. But I remember being 13 and 14 and 15. And to think back to that and realize mm-hmm. who or what I was, like, oh my God, what an awkward, potentially horrible age.
Yes.
Which does help, though. I mean, he'll do something that's just completely ridiculous. And my first reaction is to get frustrated. And then I have to think back and think, well, what would a 13-year-old John do? Probably something exactly like what just happened. I mean, it's like things don't change. And that to me is probably the one difference. I mean, I don't have girls. You don't have boys. But I think with the maturity difference, it's really starting to come out now. And it's interesting to watch the maturity dynamic when he's with his friends that are boys and his friends that are girls and how they all interact and get together. And God, it's a weird world.
It is. And like, there are a couple of scenes on My So-Called Life where in some of the shows that we watch where like a couple will kiss and I feel embarrassed. Like I feel like I'm 13 years old watching somebody kiss on television while I'm sitting next to my mother. That's what I feel like when I'm sitting next to her.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, what is going through her brain as she's watching that? What is going through her brain?
Yeah.
Two people are kissing on the TV.
But that's what's weird, though. Like, I haven't recovered from that awkwardness that I used to feel at the age he's now at. So I don't know how to really deal with it because we're in the same. But we'll be watching a show and they'll make some sort of passive joke or comment about boobs. And I can see him kind of like casually side-eyeing me. And I don't want to look at him. And I don't want to laugh. And I don't think he wants to laugh. So I feel like it's just two 13-year-olds not wanting to laugh at a boob joke.
Have you talked to him about boobs?
I have. I mean, we've had conversations and it's not like this is all totally foreign, but it's not. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like I was just that age. So I still have to, you know, I don't, it's, God, it's so awkward. And it's probably, I mean, I want to think it's worse for him, but I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Now I look back at watching those scenes or hearing those comments with my parents, and I feel so bad for them because it must have been the same for them.
So on Valentine's Day, she was a little sad because in elementary school, Valentine's Day is this huge deal. You know, everybody makes Valentines and passes them around the class, and there's usually just a little bit of like a party at the end of the day.
Yes.
Well, they don't have that in middle school. And that night, she was just like, oh, gosh, it was so annoying that people were, like, passing each other, like, heart notes and stuff. And I was like, I said, are people dating at your school? And she's like, yes. And I said, really? She's like, yeah. Like, we're way too young, Mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, see, when I was her age, I was in a religion that said that you couldn't date until you were 16. And even then it had to be a double date. And then when you were 18, you could go on a single date. That's part of the religion.
So she's Mormon at this point.
I have not perpetuated this ideology, but she recognizes like people my age are not ready for this.
Which is good. I'm not ready for it.
Leah, so. I'm 41 and I'm not ready for this. Exactly. No one is ready for this.
So it was a couple weeks ago. They don't do anything for Valentine's at Lexton School either. And he was disappointed just because the party was fun and, you know, I'm so glad we don't have to buy boxes of Valentine's anymore. Or I don't. I guess maybe you still do for Marlo.
Yes.
But he was disappointed. However, a week before that or something, they had a dance. Okay.
Oh, no.
It was the winter dance. But it's so great. It was the winter dance slash.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm having PTSD.
Open gym.
What?
Okay. So I went through public school. I get it. I've been to middle school dances. I know what they're like. So he talked about it, and it sounded like he kind of wanted to go. But he didn't really want to go by himself, and he's got this friend that he's been friends with since kindergarten, a girl. And they've been very close since kindergarten. I said, why don't you just see if she wants to go? I said, it's not a date. You're just going with a friend. Because I know the friends that you have that are boys, they don't want to go. So he asked her, and they met there. They went together, right? But neither of them dressed up. Like, it was jeans and a t-shirt, super casual, incredibly adorable, which is beside the point. But as I'm waiting to pick them up afterward, I'm watching kids come out. And a lot of them are jeans and a t-shirt. And then out walks one, like 3-inch heels, evening gown, hair's all done up, makeup.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Totally. I mean, it was like prom. And
it was
like
prom?
That's exactly what it reminded me of. I'm like, at most, she's 13, maybe 14. Like, this is not prom. It's not. It was open gym, for God's sake. Are you going to throw a basketball in heels? I mean, and my Heather didn't go to a public school, so she's not familiar with how these things go. And she's like, does he need to get her flowers? We need to make sure he pays for things. I'm like, no. Totally different level here. The fact that he even wanted to go is odd, I think. Like, I didn't really want to go. I would always get dragged with groups of friends.
Would you like sit on the side and just sort of like watch?
Yeah. I mean, when you go in a group though, you can talk. So it's not quite as awkward. You're not quite the wallflower. Honestly, I mean, yeah. I'm 32. I still don't want to dance. No one wants me to dance. Nobody wants me to dance. I learned that at a young age, but they didn't dance either. I'm like, so did you guys dance? No. Well, what did you do? We just kind of hung out, talked, found some friends. Oh, all right. Well, glad you had a good time, I guess. It's a cute dynamic with them, but because they've known each other since they were 5, there's not that awkward, oh, you went with a girl. Oh, it's a boy. It's just, I'm going with my friend. Mm-hmm. And that to me is super cool. I know that it will change, or at least just in general with maturity and puberty, there will be a knowledge of some sort of tension. But a lot of, like, none of his friends that are boys have close friends that are girls. They just don't. And it's interesting to see that.
Yeah, I don't think Lita has any guy friends at all.
Because a lot of them at that age are just little twerps. They really are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When just the word dance, just like there's a dance at school or there's a dance at church, brings back a flood of awful, awful, awfulness. Ugh. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, and then he asks me, because he texted her and asked her if she wanted to go. She said yes. And this was on a Sunday. So the next day I pick him up from school and he's like, oh, she told me she's really excited. I'm like, oh, well, that's good. He's like, I think I'm kind of nervous. I said, well, you don't need to be nervous. It's not like a thing. It's not a date. You're just hanging out with your friend. He's like, did you ever go to dances? I'm like, oh God, yeah, but I really don't want to talk about them at all.
Don't follow my example.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, I went to a few. They were fine. That's all. Like, I don't need to delve back into that world. It was horrifying. And now we have to relive it all.
Oh, It reminds me, like, there were church dances, quite a few church dances, and you could start going to them when you're 14.
Can you dance with the opposite sex at 14?
Yes, but you have to, like, kind of, you have to dance with the parts, like.
Right, like the bodies can't touch, just your arms. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And there was a kid that I, a Mormon kid, that I had a crush on when I was, like, 5. And oh, wow. They moved across town, so they were in a different ward. Wards and we're back to the Mormon lesson in Manic Rambling Spiral. You attend a ward according to the location where you live. So they split up ward into congregation. So I was in, like, the 5th ward, and he was in the Germantown ward, and because he had moved across town. Wards are part of a larger group called stakes. So a stake is made up of, like, 6 wards. So there would be, like, a ward dance that only involves the people in your ward, and there would be a stake dance that involved all the people in all of the wards. So when there was a stake dance, I'm just going to give his first name. His name is Mark. And when I was 14, and I remember reconnecting or at least seeing him at the stake dances, I would go home and I would obsess about the fact that there's Mark. And I remember he asked me to dance once when I was, like, 16, and it, like, rocked my world for, like, years and years after.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. So years later, I think it was, like, in 2010, I Googled him. He's totally gay.
Really?
Yes. This kid that I had been in love with since I was 5, he's gay. Yeah. And I never stood a chance.
You spent all those years.
Yes.
Oh, man. That's so great.
Mark, if you're out there, man, did Heather Hamilton have a crush on you? Wow.
Have you been in touch with him since?
Or no.
Not at all?
I think I wrote him an email and said, hey, how you doing? And that was it. And he wrote back and said, hey, how you doing?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to let it die. The hope was gone.
And you were so nervous.
Oh, yeah. And I think that we actually danced to Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was epic. It was epic. I mean, I remember what I was wearing. I remember, like, how I had worn my hair and, like, how thrilled I was just for weeks after that Mark had asked me to dance and we danced to that song. And, oh, life isn't that bad.
But see, you're 16, so that would have been, like, a high school dance. And that's common in high school. Like, the middle school dances is all, they're, like, dance remixes. There's not slow, at least at his middle school.
Right.
There's not the slow dancing. It's just energetic dancing. So that kind of pressure, that isn't there yet. I got a couple years.
Do these things still take, like, are there dances still going on? Is this shit still happening? I think back to it and I'm thinking, what the fuck? You stuck all these teenagers together in a gymnasium, and every time a slow song comes on, everybody just sort of, like, retreats to the walls, and you're like, is anybody going to ask me to dance? Do I have to go ask someone to dance? What is the protocol? Oh, and then you're just stuck there next to the wall, not dancing with anyone. And it fucking sucks.
Well, these things that I think what's, like, really frightening is that they still exist, but now they've evolved. So it's not in the gym anymore. It's at, you know, they rent a place.
Oh.
So now you go somewhere, which means the cost of the tickets is, like, it's like going to a concert.
Really?
And then you've got the dress and the shoes, or you've got the suit if it's a prom, or, you know, just pants and a shirt and tie if it's not. And then transportation and meal. I mean, it's a thing. And I always know when it's prom because I'll be out somewhere driving or at a park, and you just see groups of way too young to be comfortable in that tux people at a park because they're doing photos or they're doing whatever, or you're at a restaurant and you realize you're sitting next to a group of 30 high schoolers that are dressed up, and you're like, oh, fuck, because it's so, and that is another situation, even though they're not my kids, I immediately feel embarrassed on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I remember sitting there. I remember not knowing what to order, not knowing what to do. Because it's such a weird dynamic. And unless your date is a close friend or you're dating them, and the group is a group of close friends, it's awkward as all hell. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Yeah. kind of want to walk up to, when I see that in public, I kind of want to walk up to him and go, you feel really insecure, don't you? And it fucking sucks. And guess what? None of this shit matters when you grow up. That's the good thing you have to look forward to. None of this shit matters. None of it.
Yep.
And then you have to start paying bills.
A whole new set of things that actually do matter will crop up. I mean, when I look back, even at my worst dance and my best dance.
And your best dance.
I don't talk to any of the dates that I had for dances in high school. I've lost touch with them long ago. I don't remember who went in the group. I don't remember where we, I don't remember anything except one dance where I wore a zoot tux with the chain and the hat.
What?
Unfortunately, I remember that one. That one.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a picture?
My dad will listen to this and I will probably get one texted to me next week.
And we are going to post that. You wore a zoot tux. A zoot tux.
I did. Oh, yeah. With like a, I think I, it's hard to remember. I know I had a hat.
With a chain.
And it was a double chain.
Oh, my God.
The black and white shoes, like a red cummerbund, I think. It was.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I was thinking that I was awesome because I was dating someone who was like a senior. So I got to go to the prom earlier than I should have because I was a sophomore.
Oh.
It was not. Oh, God. Oh, God. That was. That one, I lied. I can probably remember my worst dance, and that was probably it. That was.
Well, you wore a zoot tux.
Oh, my God, I know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I have the hat. I recently threw the hat away. My dad visited and brought the hat. He's like, I can't throw this away. You have to be the one to do it. And of course, Lexton, he's like, wait, you wore this at your school? I'm like, well, yeah, but it was part of an outfit. And he's like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, well, see, it can't get any worse for you. I will say, I have never seen anyone else in that exact outfit at any of the dances I went to or with any of the groups around town in the last 5 years.
Most unique get up goes to John Bray.
We matched really well, though, I will say, looking back on it. Red cummerbund, she had a red dress. It was pretty stellar.
Yeah, I wore to my proms, I wore something that I shouldn't have been wearing, really.
Which was?
I wore red dresses. Both of them were red. One was very sequined. All sequins. It was back in the sequin days. It was sequins, and it was shoulder, like what do they call them now? I forget. Where there's no shoulders, it's cut off at the shoulders.
Okay, I have no idea.
Yeah, so I have tons of pictures of this, which you're not supposed to expose your shoulders as a Mormon, but for some reason it was okay that I did for my parents or my mom. And then for my senior prom, I wore a red dress. So for my senior prom, I went stag because nobody asked me to go. So me and a group of friends went.
And how was that?
It was really awkward.
Really? Even with a group of, like, all girlfriends?
Yeah, because, you know, we all go to take a picture together. You know, you have to line up for photos.
Okay.
You know how the guy stands behind the girl and puts his arms around the girl? Oh, yes. God, thinking about all of this is, like, giving me hives. Ugh. We all were waiting in line and looking at everybody holding hands and whatnot. I'm like, am I a loser?
So it's awkward because you don't have to deal with the awkwardness?
It was just awkward all around, you know, the makeup and the hair and the fancy dress. And yeah.
Yeah.
I am comfortable in my life and in my skin. And I would never, ever, ever want to live through those years again, ever.
No, that is like the hardest part about it for me. Seeing that he's 13 and like you have 5 years to go until you're 18. And those 5 years are hell.
Well, I know people who wish that they could live in high school in perpetuity. Like high school was like the golden age, you know, those who were the homecoming queen and class president and the most popular people. Like I see them sometimes on Facebook and it's like, those were really good years for you. And I'm glad, but I would never, ever, ever choose to go back.
Well, and I think there's a, I have to be careful how I put this.
No, don't be careful. We're not being careful anymore. Life is a tumbleweed.
You can't. I feel like when those people that want to go back and live in those years forever have kind of just accepted that they peaked in high school and life will never be that cool again. And to me, that's an incredibly depressing attitude to have. Granted, I wasn't cool in high school. Like there's no doubt in my mind that I wasn't. But I can't imagine looking back, you know, 15 years from now and saying, I wish I could have that again because it was so awesome. And nothing from this day forward is going to match it.
Mm-hmm.
That would suck. I don't know. And they give, so Lexton's, his school is broken up into grades and then the grades are broken up into sections and yada, yada, yada. So their section every quarter gives away like the kind of awards that they only used to give away for seniors in high school, like most likely to succeed, those kind of things. I don't know why they do it in seventh grade. I really hate it. This is the second time it's happened and he didn't win. He hasn't won either time. He's like, it's only the kids who are really good at sports or blah, blah, blah. And I never win. I'm like, yeah, well, I never won either. And as I hear myself say that, I'm like, and look at me. I'm a single parent. Pretty awesome. I mean, I know in my, like, I know it doesn't matter. But, and then I wonder from his perspective, does he hear, well, my dad didn't win either. Oh, fuck. I'm screwed.
That brings up an interesting, I had a thought yesterday. I was talking to a woman whose divorce is going to be final in like a month, but they've been separated for a year and a half and she's been dating. And she asked me, she said, do you miss the family unit? And I thought about it and I thought about how we've created this norm and maybe it's an evolutionary norm. I don't know. This norm that a family consists of two parents and the children. And that's the norm. It's me and my girls. It's me and my girls. That this is the family unit that we have. I don't think that there's anything strange about this. I don't think there should be. I don't think there should be a stigma on the fact that that it's not a two-parent unit.
Right, like it shouldn't be viewed as a failure.
Right. It shouldn't be viewed as, I did that in high school and I ended up as a fucking single parent. Well, damn it.
Right. No, yes, I agree. I don't see myself as a single parent and therefore I am a failure. But I don't know. It's thinking about how things like that, you know, sitting with a group of your peers and watching other people get awarded for things and you not getting anything.
Yes.
It's hard. I mean, as an adult, I could sit in a room and not get an award, and I don't care. It makes no difference to me.
Oh God, I remember they used to pass out before homecoming. They would pass out a list of names of girls who have been nominated for homecoming queen. There'd be like 25 girls' names and 25 boys' names, and you would circle the one that you wanted for homecoming queen. And
list, you had to vote. That's right.
Yeah, and that list would come out every year, and there would be 25 girls listed. And as homecoming queen, which is like a measure of your beauty, really, in the South, I'm pretty everywhere.
Beauty and popularity.
And yep. Every year, my name was never on the list. And what kind of fucked up system do we live in? Shit. No wonder I'm so fucked up.
But it's those things like
why would you do that to a teenager? Yeah. Why put teenagers in that situation where they're like faced with this piece of paper that says you're not living up to this. You don't qualify. Oh my God, on these arbitrary, awful, Now I'm worked up.
Even on things that maybe aren't necessarily arbitrary, to already establish competition, to already pit them against each other. I mean, sports is one. If you are on an athletic team, there's competition. It's there. But to already kind of highlight the quote-unquote good people or the special people from everyone else, it doesn't make sense. In sixth grade, they only did this once, and I have a feeling that the backlash was loud. Halfway through the year, at lunch, all of the kids who got straight A's got free ice cream, and the other kids did not. And he told me this as we're driving home. Like, no, that can't be what they did, because that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you really mean to tell me that there's a bunch of you sitting there watching other kids get ice cream? It's like, yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, yeah, that's really weird. Why would you do that? It's weird for the kids who are eating the ice cream, and it's weird for the kids that don't get any. Like, why do that in sixth grade? Like, here's one of the most difficult transition years ever for school, at least here, because then it's a new school. It's middle mm-hmm. school. And now you're pitted against each other. It's like the Hunger Games.
It's like both sides are like, oh my God, I'm going to have to eat ice cream in front of them. And like, oh my God, they're eating ice cream.
Yes. And I mean, he had friends who got ice cream and friends who didn't get ice cream. I just, that kind of, why create tension where there doesn't need to be tension? Just like homecoming. I know that you can make the argument that it's a fun tradition. And I also know that there is just naturally competition in real life. I get that. I don't want to try and shelter kids from it. But why create it where it doesn't need to exist?
Right.
Like, push girls through high school in a system that rewards them for being popular and beautiful. And then when they become adults, be like, you don't need to worry about popularity. Beauty is, you know, your own individual thing. But it's not, because you've just pushed them through a system that tells you they have to meet a particular standard or feel bad for not.
Part of the motivation that I had in high school to graduate valedictorian was this, like, and I'm piecing this all together now as I'm talking through it. This is my therapy right now. I remember thinking, not in these words, but that it was an arbitrary, that list of girls, that was an arbitrary list based on arbitrary standards. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking earn my grades. That's something that I did. It wasn't arbitrary. It was it was something that I earned, and it was hard, like hard evidence that this is what I accomplished.
So that was that was your homecoming queen moment.
That was, and then, oh my God, I know that there exists out there a VHS tape of my speech at the graduation where, like, that was like the point of my speech was like, no, y'all, I fucking earned this one. I'm standing up here because I fucking earned that 108 in physics every single 6 weeks.
That was your revenge.
It was my revenge.
You had that moment, the last day of high school.
And I'm sure my Mrs. Jones, who was my physics teacher, was just shaking her head because she had pulled me aside in physics several times and was like, Heather, you need to calm down. Heather, you just need to calm down. If you don't calm down, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Like, you need to calm down.
But it was something you earned, like something you had to actually work for.
I worked my ass off, yes.
By doing it, you weren't really pitted against anyone. I mean, you earned the highest grades, but it wasn't like they sent out a list every quarter. Here's the top 10 grade people of the class. You know, I mean, after all of that time in high school, that was what you got. And
yeah.
It was a personal accomplishment. People knew, because eventually you were the valedictorian, but it wasn't this constant reminder of vote for someone and do this and do that.
Yeah.
God, and they're only 13. Lexton's not even 13. See, that's what I mean.
Now I'm really scared. Now that I've relived this in the last 20 minutes, now I'm really scared. Oh God.
It's like it only gets worse.
If I can just like let her know, like, Lita, like the next few years of your life, none of it really matters. None of it really, like, it matters that you do your work and you have fun and that you are who you are and that you explore who you are. But none of it really matters. And once it's all over, it's in the past, and then you get to go live your life.
But it's so hard to convey this idea that none of it matters without it being like this part of your life is inconsequential. Like, it does. I mean, looking back and saying none of the dances matter, none of that mattered. Like, they don't. But at the same time, I always wonder, did they? Like, had you not gone to that dance in a group, stag, what kind of perspective would you have then looking back?
Right.
Would you have wished you'd gone, you know?
It's all a makeup of our character, absolutely, yeah.
But it's hard to convey that. Like, it is important, but it's not important in the way that you think it is right now.
This is not the destination.
Right.
The destination is not high school. The destination is life.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Life is a tumbleweed.
That's right.
TM.
Right. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead. So, let's see. I am moving in the next 2 weeks. I'm not moving to California. Somebody got the idea that I'm moving to California on my Instagram. I'm not moving to California. I'm just moving to, I'm moving across town.
So you're moving to Utah.
I'm moving to Utah.
Nice.
I'm moving. And in the middle of all of that, we have got parent-teacher conferences. We have two doctor's appointments, two dentist appointments. Lita and Marlo are playing at Federation, meaning in front of judges, the day that we move in to the into the house. And then Lita is in a play that's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, wow.
That goes for 10 straight days. Oh my God. So
they
all
have
of
10
this,
performances?
Yes, and two Holy matinee shit. Performances.
What yeah. What is her role?
She's one of the backup dancers. They don't give the major roles to the seventh graders. Only the major roles go to the eighth graders.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so all of that is sort of going on while I'm trying to work and pay bills and life.
Bumbling along. That's interesting. I didn't know she was in the play. It's interesting that you mentioned that because mm-hmm. Lexton is not, he's not a play type of kid. But he came home a few weeks ago and told me he wanted to join the theater tech crew to do sound and lighting for the play.
Oh, awesome.
That is super cool. I don't know anything about that world, but he's, I mean, like I've said, he's super science minded. He's totally into that and he really wants to do it. And he's like beyond pumped. Tells me about it every day, what he gets to do, the light boards and this. I'm like, that's cool. Cause now he gets to see this world that he normally wouldn't see. I'm not a theater person. I never saw it because I never did anything on the back end.
Okay. That is fucking A, man. That is cool.
It's super cool. It's also like X number of hours these days uh-huh. of the week, then the weekend, then yep. this, then this. They got to go for clean. I signed uh-huh. him up like, hell yeah, you want to do this? Sweet. And I sent it in and then I started looking. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well,
yep. Uh-huh.
Then I had to sit him down. I'm like, you know that this means some days you're going to go from school to practice to homework to bed. Like, that's just what this means. He's like, yeah, I know. Okay, I'm going to remember that you said that. I'm fine that you do it, but you need to be aware. And I totally, like, I'm not trying to talk him out of it.
No, I totally understand. I said the same thing to her. I was like, Lita, this is 8:00 on a Saturday morning. Are you prepared to do this? Yes, 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 totally. And she is, and she has been. I'm not.
Right, exactly. That's why, like, I wanted him. Like, are you sure you can still say no? It's not too late. But God, that's a lot to juggle, though, with moving. Moving is
yeah.
hell. I
yeah.
mean, no matter, you could be moving next door and it sucks.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not like, Whoa, God, am I?
So is it at the end of February? That's when you move?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to downsize on purpose because I just don't need the amount of space that I have here. And so I have to get rid of like half of the things that I own. That's part of it. Anyway, sorry. It's really, really, really consuming. she had to try out for the play and get into the play in order yeah. to qualify to try out for the dance program next year at school. That's the only reason that's really the only reason she did it. And then I knew that she was going to get into the dance program, but I didn't tell her. The teacher told me not to tell her.
But she had to try out for the play anyway. Yeah. There was no way around that. Okay.
Yeah. So when she came home and she showed me the paper where she was going to be in dance and she was just thrilled out of her mind. Thrilled. Thrilled. My kid is a dancer. Your kid is an engineer. And my kid, who didn't walk until she was two, is like dancing like a maniac. She honestly, we've talked about this before, but she can, I'll say, Lita, can you bring me that cup? She dances across the kitchen to hand me the cup. Literally. Dances across the kitchen. She can't move in her life without it being a dance move.
That's so funny.
It's so funny.
I noticed that especially because I think a huge part of that is the difference between raising boys and girls, because Lexton doesn't. Granted, I will catch him dancing, usually to something like AC/DC, oddly enough. But I'll go to my friend's house and they have three girls. And one is 5 and one is 8 or 6 and 8. And I feel like they're doing some sort of pirouette or something with
yes.
every word they speak and every step they take. It's just constantly like dancing through the house. And it's because they'll tell me a story and their arms are waving and they're kind of half jumping and they're super excited. But then when Lexton tells me a story, it's just he stands there like with his hands in his pocket, which is it's a weird difference. It's great. I don't have a problem with it, but it's so funny to watch.
My friend Kelly was here and she spent the night one night before we had to go to a conference in San Diego, and she met Lita, and Lita of course is doing her thing in the kitchen where she kicks up her leg and almost hits me in the face. And I'm like, Kelly, this is my dancer Lita. And I'm like, this is, she's like, Kelly was like, honey, I was a dancer. She's like, it only gets worse. She's like, all I did was dance around the house. This is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, I'm fine with it getting worse. I just don't want to get kicked in the face. And it is a serious, serious danger with that kid. Her legs are so long and she is swinging her leg constantly.
Yeah, so. She's all limbs too.
Yeah.
Just like Lexton, mm-hmm. yeah.
Our teenagers.
We're doing something right.
Our fucking teenagers.
I got a month. He is not a teen yet.
And this is the thing, is that you're 32 with a teenager.
I realized I'm going to be 38 when he's 18.
Oh my God, you're like a Mormon. You're so Mormon. You're blonde. You're 32 with a teenager. Dude, you would pass as just like a grade A Mormon right there.
But it's so weird because all of my friends, I either have friends that are my age that have like 2-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
or I have friends that are in their early 40s, like you, who have kids that are Lexton's age. So I'm in a weird spot.
Yeah.
It's going to be very odd to hit late 30s.
You'd fit right in here. Just Utah would welcome you, open arms.
No, not. I go to school functions and I look around and I think that's one of the things that keeps me from feeling like an adult. Because I look at parents, and part of it is that they're on their fourth kid. Like, their fourth mm-hmm. kid is in Lexton's class. So they're obviously at least 20 years older than me. But I'm sitting around, I'm like, I'm 32 and they're all 50. And we all have kids the same age. Like, it just, and then I kind of like, okay, I'm the kid here. I'm sort of lesser in some way.
Oh.
It's just a weird dynamic. I mean, I know I'm not, but it's strange. It's very strange. And I'm not a middle manager at some company in Chicago, which also sets me apart.
Oh, man. I'm 41 with a teenager, and I still feel like, what the fuck happened? What happened?
Seriously, yeah.
What happened, Internet?
Life
what happened?
Is a tumbleweed. That's what
Folks.
Happened. Folks.
We would love to hear from parents of teenagers. We would love to hear from you. The war stories, the triumphs, the victories, the lows.
Hopefully, though, the survival tales. That's really
the survival tales. That's mostly what we want. Yes, you can send them to us at stories@manicramblings.com, and you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @manicramblings. Right? Those are the right handles.
You got it.
I believe. Life is a tumbleweed, and I was able to remember that.
Got them all. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, 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 boom. And until next week.
Keep tumbling. Come on. That was great.
That was great. That was really cute. 32-year-old with a fucking teenager.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Even
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.